The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, coming to you live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. This segment is brought to you by the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcast media schools. Make sure you give them a call for a tour at 1-800-TV-RADIO. And make sure you visit the website at www.gocsb.com. Joined again today by my co-host, Anthony Smurf Plummer. Smurf, we had a great weekend in sports today, didn't we?
Definitely did, and we leading up to the big game that's coming up on Sunday. I know you're flying out tomorrow to go to Indy. It's going to be an exciting time this weekend. Hopefully, you know, we'll have a great game come Sunday with the Super Bowl.
Definitely. Give us a call with your questions at 1-888-346-9144. Join the conversation at Twitter at Life After T Game. That's LifeAfterT Game. Or shoot us an email at Lamar@LifeAfterTheGame.com. Well, I know we saw the Pro Bowl yesterday, and one of the funny things about the Pro Bowl is it looked like a flag football game. But we want to start the show off a little on a more serious note. I had a chance this weekend to hang out with Don Lemon and Dr. Sanjay Gupta and talk about the importance of concussion awareness, concussions that have been suffered by former NFL players. So right now we're going to bring in our boy, Dorsey Levin, Super Bowl champion for the Green Bay Packers, talk a little bit about his documentary, Bell Rung. Dorsey, thanks for joining us today.
Man, thanks for having me, fellas.
Hey, it's a serious issue, Dorsey. You know, me and you talk about this off the air all the time, and you have a great documentary, Bell Rung. Feel free to visit my website at www.facebook.com/LC Real Estate, or definitely check out the 4-minute teaser trailer on my Twitter account, again, at Life After T Game. And you did a great job, man. You had the guys open up about the concussions. And now that we know what concussions are, you know, you had a very long career. How many concussions do you think that you had over your course of your playing career?
Well, now that we know what a concussion is, I mean, it's probably a couple of hundred, you know, because right. every time you get a bell rung, or you get your bell rung, or you get a dinger, which is one of the things that Dr. Guskowitz, one of the leading guys on brain injuries, actually works for the NFL, doesn't work for those guys as well. He said that we would kind of stop saying that we got our bell rung or that we got a dinger. He's like, because that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is you got a concussion. You know, it's not a big concussion. It's more of a mild concussion, but a concussion nonetheless. So with that being said, at least 100, probably more than that. I can't count because it happened so often, and it was such a part of the game. It was so normal that I didn't pay attention to it like any of us did. We was like, you know what? That's part of the game. You don't get your bell rung, shake it off, get back in the game. But now we know different, and knowledge is the key. Now that we know better, we got to do better.
We definitely do. Now, Smurf, when you were down there at Virginia State, you called a lot of basketball and a lot of football games. I know you saw some great hits in your day down there in the CIAA. What was your reaction when you saw a great hit on the football field?
Excitement. You know, that was the thing. You know, all defensive players, that was their thing of making a great hit. And like you said, a lot of times guys just label it as a headache after a great hit like that. But there's a big difference between a headache and a concussion. And like Dorsey said, a concussion is a traumatic brain injury, not quite the same as a headache. And like you said, we was excited about that type of thing to see a guy not be able to get up off the field. But later in life, you never know the effect that it would have on a person's memory.
And it's funny you say that, Dorsey. I know you agree with it as well, that when we were on the sideline and you were an offensive guy, but you were excited when you ran somebody over. You were excited when you saw Sharper, one of the defensive players, put a big hit on somebody. just like we were. But I think back to how violent that we played the game. And now that knowing what we know, would we have played the game any different?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is that, you know, when we're young, the ego is so big. We
yes,
want to
sir.
Prove to the world that we're tough guys. And we don't need to do that because we're playing football. That says you're tough enough. But us, being macho, wanting to show the world that we can get it done, we want to go punish somebody. We want to make the crowd go, ooh, did you see that? That's what we want. That's what we were bred to do. You know, so I think,
right.
to answer your question, if there's something that I would have done differently, I think now, it's what, if I had gotten that first down, as opposed to going, you know what, I'm going to go punish this little DB over here for trying me. just out of sheer disrespect for trying a 230-pound running back, I'm about to lay the wood on you.
Right.
To make sure you'll come back and do it again. I would have cut that out.
Right.
I would have got that first down.
Right.
And like, all right, homeboy, I'm going to get out of bounds. We're going to line up. We're going to do this again. But you ain't going to hit me in my head again.
Right. No doubt. If you just joined us, I have Super Bowl champ Dorsey Levins on talking about his documentary, Bell Run. Give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. And there's so many incentives that guys play the game. I think I had a great conversation with some guys yesterday is that, you know, people fail to realize it's only a little over 1,600 coveted positions in the NFL every year. And once you get into that system and you're playing the game and you're making over six figures, you don't want to come out of the game. You want to make sure you continue to get that check. You want to make sure that, I know it's going to sound funny. When I used to get on the field, I just say, my mom watching. You're not going to embarrass me in front of my mom. Whatever your motivation might be, we were out there killing ourselves. I mean, our pride was literally and could be literally the death of us in that situation. Now, Smurf, with all the sports games that you've called, if you can remember a big hit in football, what's the biggest hit you've ever saw in football? If you can remember the biggest hit of any game you've ever watched.
I'm going to tell you one of the most vicious hits I saw, and I guess probably because it's one of the most recent, was the hit that Colt McCoy took out there in Cleveland, and they didn't label him as a concussion. He actually came back in the game, and it took him a week to realize that guy had a concussion. I have a question for you and Dorsey. If Tom Brady or Eli Manning Sunday gets a concussion, do you think they'll actually come out with one of the biggest games in their career after all this concussion awareness?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I've seen a couple instances, especially last year in the playoffs. Now, y'all know I watched my boys, the Packers, so they were playing, I believe it was the NFC Championship, and Aaron Rodgers was wearing that special helmet because he had a concussion early on in the season. He got hit.
Right.
And got up slow, and he bent over, and one of his linemen came over. And I don't know exactly what he said, but I can promise you it sounded something like this. Hey, man, if you don't stand up and start acting straight, they're going to start testing you for concussion symptoms. Or they're going to give you that baseline test on the sideline. And by the look in your eyes right now, you're not going to pull it together. So I need you to straighten up, or you're going to be on the sideline. So the answer is absolutely not. Those guys are not coming out the game. No way.
Hell no, they're not coming out of the game. The NFL is a $9 billion business. We're going to Europe next year. We're going global. We're taking a David Stern rule of thumb, and we're going international with football. Roger Goodell will not let Eli Manning or Tom Brady come out of the game due to any type of concussion that you see. And Smurf, when I asked you that question earlier, I was thinking back to the Steve Atwater and Christian Okoye hit. And I have a chance to see Steve a lot here. We're both on the NFLPA board here in Atlanta. And I asked Steve about that hit. I said, Steve, you know, you remember when you hit Christian Okoye? No, Steve laughed at me. He said, no. No. One of the biggest hits that hit really signified the type of play, not only that Christian Okoye was and Steve Atwater was. Now, for all my listeners, Steve Atwater is about a 6'3.5". 240-40-pound safety in his heyday. And Christian Okoye was about the same size as a running back. YouTube it. I'll guarantee you it's on YouTube. YouTube Christian Okoye and Steve Atwater. One of the most vicious hits I've ever seen in my life. And this is what we play the game for. And it's systemic, Dorsey, because at a young age, if we're not coached correctly, I know for myself at 100 pounds wet, I made it a point to lead with my head. I made it a point to spear every chance that I got. That's how I played the game, and no one ever told me to play the game any differently.
Yeah, I mean, now, like you said, now that we know better, coaches have to have the responsibility to teach guys to tackle the proper way. And we've heard it 100 times, hit what you see what you hit. But when you're going 100 miles an hour in the game, the instinct is survival. And that's, and the first thing that goes to your mind is to get your head down to protect yourself. You know, and that's, I think that's going to be the most challenging part, is to try to change that, because the head is a weapon. I know if I was running and I lower my head, people's going to get out my way. And that's just the way it was. You know, was it right? No. But will they get out of your way? Absolutely. So you stick with what works. So we got to try to change the culture and teach guys, keep your head up. You got to keep your head up. You know, but we'll see what happens, man.
It's funny you mentioned,
it's a big challenge.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I remember going up to Green Bay one game. And I had to play strong safety. I had just made the move to free safety from corner. I was about 185 pounds strong safety. They put me in a box. And your boy William Henderson winked at me every play. Let me tell you something. I guarantee you, now that I know what a concussion is, William Henderson gave me about 4 or 5 concussions that one game. At least. At least.
I did an interview that's on air outside the lines, Super Bowl morning on ESPN 2 at 10 o'clock. I said the same thing about William Henderson. I said, I don't know how many times we came back to the huddle, and he had this look in his face, and he's blinking. And you can tell he's trying to pull it together, but he can't, because he just got a dinger. He just got his bell rung. That happened 2-3 times a game, and us, you know, or me, being ignorant and naive, I was like, hey, man, I know you can't see straight, but I need you to pull it together. I don't know how many times he would go the wrong way on lead plays. It'll be lead left, he go to the right. I'm like, dude, what is the problem? He's like, nah, I get it straight. I get it straight. Don't worry about it. It was all over the place.
And we laugh about it now, but the seriousness of the issue, now that we're a little older, now that our bodies are no longer under warranty anymore, we feel a lot of that. I mean, I have migraines from time to time, dizzy spells, and I remember those hits. I'm sure you feel the same way. We got about 3 minutes until break, though. So for all our listeners out there, all the high school kids and college guys that are listening, what advice do you have for them as far as playing the game safely?
Do some research. You know, I know a lot has been made about concussions lately, but just, you know, YouTube, Google, traumatic brain injury or TBI or CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. All these are injuries that can possibly kill people, especially younger guys, because there's something called second impact syndrome, and that's when you don't give the first concussion enough time to heal, and then you get that second concussion. Now, most of those situations where kids actually had that second concussion, and because their brains are not fully molded, there's a very high rate of death. And if you don't die, you come back as a different person. And when I say a different person, you don't remember who you used to be. So you start from scratch. So it's basically you're dead, but you're not, because you're not the same person. So know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? I hear guys constantly saying, you know, well, if I had a concussion, I would fake it and go back in. Well, be careful when you say that, because these kids are listening, and these kids are more susceptible to second impact syndrome because their brains are not fully developed. We, as young men or young adults, are not at that high of a risk. But at the same time, you know, that role model moniker, we hear it all the time. You know, your role model, even though nobody signs up for it, and if you put Charles Barkley on the line, he's going to tell you, sir, I ain't no role model. But kids look up to you, and they do what you say. So just be responsible is all I'm saying for some of the older guys. For the younger guys, keep your head up when you hit what you see what you hit, do some research, and know exactly what you're getting yourself into before you strap that helmet on.
Yeah, definitely. That's some great advice, Doris. We got about 1 minute left. Got to get your Super Bowl pick before we get let you get out of here. Who you got, the Golden Boy or Eli Lord Helmet Manning?
I'm gonna go with Eli, man, because the Giants are a hot team right now. You know, they went up and they beat the number one seed and number two seed in the NFC, both on their home field. They can get to the quarterback with four people, which means they can drop seven in coverage, which means it's gonna be some problems for Mr. Brady, just like it was in that last Super Bowl. I'm going with the Giants.
Hey, you heard it there from a Super Bowl champion himself, Dorsey Levis. Make sure you look out for his documentary. Bell Rod Dorsey, thanks for joining us today, my man. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Luck.
All right. Make sure you stay tuned when we come back. Me and my co-host, Anthony Smurf Plummer, going to be welcoming Ron Dixon of the New York Giants, one of my colleagues at Voice America Sports. Stay tuned, Life After the Game.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Play ball. If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz is heard every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. This segment is brought to you by the Successor Real Estate. If you're looking to lease, buy, or sell Atlanta real estate, be sure to check out the Successor Real Estate at www.thesuccessofrealestate. Smur, we saw the Pro Bowl this weekend. We see your boy got the MVP. I like the way Andy Dalton played this weekend at the Pro Bowl. He got a nice ball. He looked really good with some more talent around him other than Chris.
Well, we're going to first start off calling it the pro flag football Pro Bowl game because, I mean, them guys really, I was really not interested in the game yesterday because it wasn't more like a football game. It was more like a charity event, if you ask me. I mean, guys
indeed
were not taking that game serious. Defensive linemen, I mean, they wasn't getting any push. They was coming off the ball and just standing straight up. But like you said, it was a very exciting game. It wasn't lacking for any points. As you see, the AFC won the game 59, NFC 41.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a crazy-looking game. Funny thing, yesterday, a friend of mine does PR for James Harrison, so you know that the NFL was forbidding the players to actually tweet until they got off the field. James Harrison sent a tweet out, "I'm not tweeting at all." I love James Harrison. He don't go to the White House. He just don't care, man. That's my man right there.
James Harrison, you're right about that. I mean, you talk about one of the vicious players. He's one of the guys that we can talk about when it comes down to concussions because that guy lays some of the most vicious hits on his opponents there is out there in the NFL right now. I think he's one of the most feared guys in the NFL right now.
Well, let's really talk about the game of the weekend. Rafael Nadal and Djokovic. That was the game of the weekend. That was the match of the weekend, I should say. The match of the weekend.
Now, you're talking about being in shape. I mean, I just cannot imagine them guys going out there, going at it for almost 5 hours. You're talking about one set lasting almost an hour. I mean, I would have been passed out there on that court. Them guys, we have to get them tennis players. Them guys are in excellent shape, and it was a great match.
Great match. I mean, 5 hours and 33 minutes on that court. 5 hours and 33 minutes. When fell asleep early on Saturday night, woke up about 3:30, flipping through the channels, and actually forgot the match was on. Ended up watching the match at about 8 o'clock that morning. The sun was coming up. Great match, great athletes. Last 20, I believe, Grand Slams have been won by them, other than Roger Federer.
You're right about that. I mean, those two guys, they actually have the tennis league locked down right now. I mean, those guys are two very competitive. They are two competitive guys, and they always seem to meet each other in the finals.
The Nadal girl wasn't looking too bad either.
You're right about that. He do have a hottie. He does. He has a prayer. He has a hottie.
She is official. She's real official. She's real official. But enough about the Dials Girls, Murph. So we got a big week coming up, man, as we heard from our boy Dorsey Levins. And if you're just tuning in, give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. Follow the conversation on Twitter, Life After T Game. He's going to go ahead and take the New York Giants. Hopefully, I got my buddy Ron Dixon going to be calling in shortly. One of the former Giants, one of the retired players, doing some great things at Voice America Sports and also down there in Hollywood, Florida, with his charitable organizations. But when you have the ability to rush four, is this the new trend in the NFL to go 2D tackles, 2D ends, and be able to rotate eight like they do in college? Because remember, it used to be the one running back system in NFL. Now we're to the two-back running back system. Is it going to be a situation now? And I believe it's the new trend in the NFL. You're going to go be able to go eight linemen deep, and that's going to wreak havoc on quarterbacks.
Yeah, the Giants have set a new precedent with that defensive line. I mean, you're talking about Human Yura, Jason Tuck, Pierre Paul. I mean, you got guys all the way across the board that just can get after the quarterback. And I have a feeling that's going to cause a few problems for Tom Brady. Tom Brady, to me, he seems to get intimidated about guys who have a great pass rush and guys who that he know can lay a little wood on them. And any quarterback gets a little happy feedback there. But we're going to see what Tom Brady does on Sunday because, like you said, Tom Brady had a bad game against the Baltimore Ravens, and very seldom do we have the Golden Boy. Do we see the Golden Boy have two bad games?
That's crazy. That's I mean, you really see that. But I tell you what, we're going to ask a New York Giant himself. My man Ron Dixon on the line, another colleague of mine at Voice America Sports. Ron, thanks for calling in today.
What's up, man? No problem.
Hey, man, always good to hear from you, man. So you made a great transition to your life after the game, man. You had your Super Bowl starting with your 97-yard kickoff return touchdown. You know, you look really, really smooth out there in that number. I like that. Tell our listeners what's going on the day. Yeah, a little razzle-dazzle never hurt anybody, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what you got going on down there in Florida these days?
Well, you know, just trying to make it happen, man. You know, when you say, like, the transition, my transition has not been easy. You know what I mean? You just, you know, after you put so much time into trying to, you know, become a professional football and follow that dream, you know, I think a lot of guys don't think of, you know, their transition or their second dream. So it's been a little, little stumbling going on for me. But, you know, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you got some good things going on, man. I mean, you're very active. You mean, you're an extreme guy like me. I watch the X Games. I watch Shaun White get 100 on the snowboard. I know a lot of people are surprised about that, but I went to Wisconsin, so you really shouldn't be. But the boy got 100 and a half pipe on a snowboard. I'm an extreme guy. I wear a Mountain Dew shirt. You know, I do all that good stuff, skydiving. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on there in extreme world.
Well, you know, I got some things. I don't want to say too much, you know, but I got some things going on. Some adventure. You know, I'm doing some... got some TV shows in development. You know, it's an extreme adventure type show, and another one is an aviation show that I'm trying to put together. So got some nice things going on. I don't want to hit on too much. I don't want nobody to steal me.
I definitely understand that. Yeah. Definitely keep that under wraps. You definitely keep that under wraps. So, man, you're a New York Giant. I think the feeling out so far, Dorsey Levins has picked the Giants. Everybody knows I love Lord Helmet, Eli Manning. I think my co-host, Anthony Spur Plummer, picked the Giant. Now, with you being a former Giant, break it down to us. Who do you have, and why are you taking them?
Man, you know I got to go with them Giants. Come on. You think I'm going to be over these airwaves and say I'm going with the Patriots? You know, but, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to that front four for me, man. You know, the same thing that happened to him when they played in 07. Brady was getting off his butt majority of the time. And I feel that's how that's going to happen again. That front four is crucial. You know, and if you can't get it out your hand, you know, you can't get it downfield and you can't make plays. And like they say, it all start up front, and that is truly the case when it comes to the Giants.
That's definitely truly the case. Now, Smurf, you hear me and Rod talk about the New York Giants. Are you in agreement with us about the front four being a difference in the Super Bowl coming up this week?
Yes, and that's the whole key. Like you said, the New York Giants front four, that pass rush, I mean, it's serious. And we all know the NFL is a copycat league. I'm looking forward to how the league has become a pass-happy league. I'm looking for a free agency. I'm interested to see how many teams stockpile on great defensive linemen and how much money they spend in that defensive line this year, because they all see that Giants have become successful at stockpiling talent at that defensive line spot.
You know, it's one thing that, you know, I think I've noticed this football year, the injuries. Wide receiver injuries, quarterback injuries, running back injuries. Those D linemen go hard for 16 games. And if you can go eight deep, you can always be in the game and always be a dominant team if you can keep your defensive lineman healthy. And that's really what happened with the New York Giants. They only lost two. But now those two guys are back healthy. They can go eight deep on a defensive line and sometimes four defensive ends on all the three-point stands. They can be unstoppable.
Yeah, keeping those guys, keeping them fresh and, you know, they slicing off that end. It's gonna be rough back there for Brady because he hadn't forgot how them boys had him on the run the entire game. Let me ask you this quick question. I don't guess it's changed the subject, but has anybody seen Ocho Cinco?
No.
Anybody know where he at?
No, and it's funny. Ocho's been playing all this time. He's up there in New England. He was inactive, you know, for the passing of his father the last game, had headed to the Super Bowl. How funny would it be if Ocho Cinco was the difference maker in this game?
Come on, is that, man. I doubt that. Come on. That's just wishful thinking.
Is it possible?
Even if they win, he can't be happy with it.
I don't got a ring, so, you know, I ain't going to Super Bowl. I'm just going on Saturday.
I don't have one either, you know, but he can't really be happy about being in the Super Bowl. I mean, yes, it's the Super Bowl, but come on. You're a future, possibly Hall of Fame guy. You know, you used to be in a big, putting a big number scoring touchdown and being the Ocho Cinco that we all know. Not even being a factor, not even being on the field, and now you're in the Super Bowl, and you didn't even contribute? I just feel some kind of way about that.
Yeah, you know, I got to go ahead and agree with you on that one, Ron. Now you've been to the Super Bowl, so you know what it's like, and you've definitely contributed. And to be on a team of that magnitude, I can guarantee
you. He's not a rookie.
Exactly. You know, I think, he can steal a ring. You know, he can steal a ring like
You know what? He ain't gonna be able to walk around shining that ring and talking like he want to talk because people going to come back. You ain't do nothing.
No question. They blow him up on Twitter. What you do?
Now, wait a minute. Now, that's my guy. Don't get it twisted. I like Chad Ocho Cinco. I like his style. I like his play. You know what I mean? So I'm not going in on him. You know, I was hoping I wanted to see so much from him. You know what I'm saying? I want him to come up and just blow up Boston and do his thing. And I got let down.
You know, I mean, I tell you what, they say Cleveland is a bad place to be. I mean, but you look at what happened to T.O., you see what happened to Chad leaving Cincinnati. You thought they would have did some great things leaving Cincinnati, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals that made the playoffs this year. I mean, that's kind of ironic, the way that went down.
And they can't tell me, oh, he don't know the playbook. This is just football, okay?
Right.
People try to make it more difficult than what it is. It's just football, because if they want him out there on that field, Brady could tell him, okay, you just go. Just run a dig. Run a dig. Run a slant. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed. If just join us, I'm on with my man Ron Diskin, former New York Giant. Give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Follow the conversation at Life After T Game. So, R.D., got to get your score for the game this weekend. Who you got? I know you got the Giants. What's the score going to be come Sunday?
I'm going 17-10. 17-10 Giants.
17. It's going to be a deep defensive matchup up there in the Eli gonna win one in his brother's stadium. I still can't get over that. That's still kind of he about to get a second one in his brother's stadium. The brother's stadium that his brother built, and they're about to run him out of Indianapolis. Have mercy.
Boy, ain't that the thing? But that show you how crucial football is. You know what I mean? Quarterbacks, they may get a little more love, you know, especially when they at his level and his stats. But when it comes to football, man, they will put a foot in your rump. You hear me? And tell you to get packing. And don't care who you is.
Don't care who you are at all. It's a business. Understand that to all my listeners. It's a business. R.D., man, thanks for joining us today on Life After the Game. My man, you're always welcome back anytime.
Appreciate it. And listen, you going to got some big things going on. I didn't want to mention it too much, but, boy, we're going to be jumping out and flying planes all across the country, coast to coast, around the globe, man.
Man, we flying them planes, boy. I'm with you, brother, man. You be safe down there in Florida. I'll hit you when I get back from Indy.
All right, cool.
Later. All right, my man. That is my man Ron Diskin joining me, one of my Voice America colleagues. Smurf, everybody's picking the Giants. Are we setting ourselves up for an upset this week or what?
I mean, I'm picking the Giants, but hey, I mean, we have a lot of confidence in the Giants, but we just can't underestimate Bill Belichick. And this right now, Bill Belichick's alley. I know Bill Belichick probably sitting around just listening to all the media listeners, us guys. They're sitting around twiddling his fingers, thinking, We just underestimate. It's not like they don't have Tom Brady out there now, and we're talking about a great team. So we're going to see what Bill Belichick, and I really think Tom Brady's legacy is on his game. Yes, he has won three Super Bowls. Do you want to get beat by Eli Manning again this year in the Super Bowl? No. He lost to Eli Manning early in the regular season. You know Tom Brady has something to prove.
Right. Right. He definitely does. We got about 1 minute left. But when we come back, we're going to take some questions, get some updates from up there in Indianapolis at Super Bowl 46. Just got an update in from Deion Branch. Deion's up there talking a lot of trash right now, sounds like, talking about Tom Brady and what the Giants are going to bring in. And I don't think they want to talk trash to the New York Giants, man. Them boys some thugs.
Them boys some thugs, man. You gotta watch out for them boys
from
the Giants. They some thugs.
Them boys some thugs up there. We're getting ready to go to break. Stay tuned. Life After the Game. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. Make sure you follow the conversation on Twitter at Life After T Game. Make sure you give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Talking a lot of Super Bowl, we're going to talk a little bit about the offense of New England Patriots. You know, we got a 17-10 prediction. Everybody's picking the Giants, but I think the key to going to be the Giants is going to have to start Gronkowski. And I think the forgotten man that really got him here the last couple of years has been kind of quiet is your boy Wes Welker. So we got some quotes coming in from the Super Bowl, and they asked Deion Branch on what Wes Welker means to the offense. And this is what Deion Branch said. He means a lot. I think everybody has, like everyone's been saying early on, I think everybody has a role. He has a very important role in our offense as far as our group and with the offensive side of the ball and also with the team, Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. That slot position is going to be the position to watch this weekend on both sides of the ball. I'm going to look for Victor Cruz to have a big game. Number one, he's been balling. Number two, is this his contract year. And number three, I know he wants to do the salsa dance at the Super Bowl. It doesn't get any better than that. But you look on the other side of the ball, Wes Welker is going to have to be involved in this offense for the Giants to win. And I got a feeling they're going to try to take his head off.
You're right about that. I mean, we can't underestimate how good Wes Welker is. He's not a guy that's going to catch. He's not a guy that's going to catch the 25 or 30 yard pass. He's a guy that's going to 5, 7, 10 yard you to death all the way down the field. So the Giants better have a game plan for Wes Welker. On the other side of the ball, you're talking about Victor Cruz. He's a sly guy. And you know what? I apologize to this guy because he did make the Pro Bowl. But that wide receiver, number 11, if he plans on lining up in the slot with Victor Cruz, they're going to have a long day. And I would not call him by his number no more. I would really, really learn this guy's name. If he makes a big play, we won't have no other choice but to know his name. But from all I know is, if he lines up in that nickel spot this weekend, in the Super Bowl, in the biggest game against Victor Cruz, he's going to have nightmares. And you can bet your bottom dollar on that.
You know what? It really surprised me. And we talked a little bit about this with Russ last week. It really surprised me that the Ravens took so long to target number 11 on Anquan Boldin last week in that game. I mean, that was a matchup that you think that they would have exploited the entire game, and they did not. And I guarantee you, if they put number 11 on Victor Cruz, he may do the salsa, he may do the merengue, he may throw a Mexican hat dance and dance around it. It's going to be a long day, and Victor Cruz, he's already going to get paid because he's having a great year. But one of the things I think that is are underestimating is that Eli Manning has better receivers than Tom Brady.
And that's the whole key. I mean, the Giants have stockpiled themselves with young talent. And I already told you this before. If the Giants somehow can find a way to win this Super Bowl, Eli Manning will set himself up to win another Super Bowl within the next 2 or 3 years. And you can bet your bottom dollar on that, that Smurf has said it. I mean, these guys are pretty young. Like you said, they're 8 deep. In the defensive line, which we know with free agency, if they win a Super Bowl, teams are going to start picking their players off. But these guys have stockpiled this talent with New York, and they're setting themselves up for the future, not just to win now. Like a lot of teams set themselves up to win now, they're setting themselves up for the win for a period of time.
And you know, you got a lot of people now wondering why the Giants didn't rush to sign back O.C. Uemenyiore. And then you see what JPP did this year. You see what all those young guys, Justin Tucker and all those guys. I mean, those guys are youthful at a defensive line position. Osi thought he was just going to sit back, hold down, and get that big check and realize that he was actually not going to get paid as much because the young guys were outperforming him. He had to get out there and play. And now that he's changed the game around, he's now going to be a contributor. He's going to play a big part in the Super Bowl this week.
Yeah, you're talking about Olsen, you're talking about a veteran guy. So you know he's been there and done that. He started off. We didn't have a training camp, so he started off the season kind of slow. He got injured. He demanded a trade early in the year, but he sucked it up as a professional. He got out there, he played ball, and look what happens there. Ended up in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl. We're going to go ahead and take a break from that real quick, but we're going to bring our girl on, Jessica, from Pro Player Perspective. She's going to come and join us to talk a little bit about T.O. and athletes going broke in T.O. GQ article. Jessica, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
We good now, girl. Tell us something good.
I wish I had more good to say now that I'm calling in to talk about people losing their money. I don't know if I have anything good to say.
Well, let's go ahead and take a serious look at it. So you did a YouTube blog on athletes playing money. Now, from an outside perspective, with me being an athlete, I'm interested in why you think athletes blow a lot of their money and lose it.
Well, you know what? I talk about this quite a bit because one of the reasons that I started my website was to talk about the human side of sports and to kind of inject some empathy and that kind of thing. And I see a lot of people kind of being, I guess, dismissive when it comes to seeing some of the things that athletes go through with money. So I wanted to just provide a little bit of perspective. And I see a few different things going on. One thing is investing in things that they don't have time to monitor, you know, things that are time-consuming, which is really hard, as you know, being a former NFL player. You know, you guys are pretty busy. It's kind of hard to monitor some of those investments, especially when you're talking about business-wise, car dealerships and that kind of thing. And that was one thing that came up in the Terrell Owens article in GQ, was that his advisors told him, well, you worry about football, and we'll worry about the rest. Mm-hmm. And that is just... That is really difficult because then you get into a situation where people are stealing from you and you don't see, and that's why he's involved in a lawsuit now. And the second thing that I talked about was, you know, having kids and getting married kind of early and then ending up, you know, paying a lot of money in child support, paying a lot of money or, you know, half of everything you make from that, the day that you say I do until, you know, the day that you divorce, you lose a lot of money that way too. So I wasn't trying to say that, you know, athletes don't sometimes overspend or anything like that, but I just wanted to let people know that there's more to it than that.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, you look at Kobe Bryant's situation, 3 houses, all that money, but it's so much bigger than the money, so much bigger than the houses. You know, they have kids, you know, and I think that's one of the most important things that people forget about. And it's funny that, you know, I play with some of the smartest guys, and I know I have seen some smart guys get swindled on bad business deals. Not necessarily that they managed their money incorrectly, but they did bad business deals. And the first thing you hear about an athlete when he loses his money, you know, he can be a $23 million guy, and the first thing you hear about him is, oh, he's stupid, doesn't know how to handle his money. However, the exec in New York loses $100 million. Nobody cuts an eye at him, and then he gets bailed out. So, you know, it's really a double standard when you look at the situation that way.
Absolutely. I mean, look at somebody like Donald Trump. I mean, how many times has he filed for bankruptcy? I mean, quite a few times, at least two or three. So yeah. And also, I think people in the public don't really at all understand what it's like to have a lot of money to deal with and to try to grow it. It's more complicated than it seems. And for guys who are, you know, come from Wall Street or come from wealthy backgrounds, they have more networks and more places to get information, whereas an athlete may only have his agent being the foot in the door to that kind of world. And to use Terrell as an example, Drew Rosenhaus was the one that directed some of his investments that ended up being bad, and now he's involved in the lawsuit, you know, suing the people that was recommended to him. So that adds another layer to it. And like you said, if those guys can get swindled, there's no reason to think that an athlete can't. And it's not really about intelligence. It's just, it's a complicated situation to be in.
It really is. If you just joined us, I'm on with Jay Dan, creator of PlayerPerspective.com. Give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Or keep the conversation going at Twitter on Life After Tea Game. And there's one thing about, you know, one of the reasons I started this show, Jessica, is that there are so many success stories out there as well. And unfortunately, you know, when you guys lose their money, those are the stories that we hear about. Those are the stories that make the front page news. And with Terrell being who he is, who he is, a lot of people did not have a lot of love for T.O. So a lot of people were loving the fact that he somewhat fell on his face and going through some tough times right now.
Yeah, I can never, you know, I was never a huge fan of Terrell when he was playing because I as an Eagles fan, especially after he came there and the way he behaved, but I cannot really understand wishing bad on someone. That part always goes over my head. I just can't do that. And I think that Terrell Owens is evidence in that GQ article. He's gone through a lot to kind of contribute to the way that he behaved, but it is sad to kind of see people reveling and someone, you know, doing poorly. And actually, it's very brave of him to even share the story in the first place. I don't know if I would have told on that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I would let people in that way. But, you know, I know T.O. is looking to play football. He's looking for his new pass. He's looking to get back into the game. That's all he knows. I mean, you saw the workout. Nobody even showed up. The man looked like he could still touchdown or two. And in a game of wins and losses, it just shows you that how much the front office now looks at you being a deterrent in the locker room. Now, Jess, we have about 3.5 minutes left. Tell our listeners about PlayerPerspective.com.
Well, PlayerPerspective.com is a site that's mainly focused on the NFL and all the players involved, but I do talk about other sports as well. But the main goal is, like I said, to explore the human side of the game and talk a little bit about what goes into being an athlete, you know, the difficulties, the challenges, and also the great things that they do. And I also look at, you know, how the media handles sports, agents, the unions, you know, all those sorts of things. So I try to take a holistic approach to covering sports as much as I can, being one person, because it is my website and I am the sole writer. But yeah, the human side, and then, you know, also kind of giving some perspective on the different players that play a role in sports.
That's definitely. Make sure you check out Jay Dan at www.playerperspective.com. Now, Jay Dan, we are 4-for-4 today for the New York Giants. Give us your Super Bowl pick and give us the score.
Oh gosh, can I do that? You know, I hate to say this, but I'm going with the Patriots because I think their defense might not be as bad as we think they are. I think they gave up a lot of yards in some of those games where Tom Brady was just killing them with points. So I'm going to go with them, but maybe not by much, maybe 30-27 or something.
30-20, that's still a close game. Special teams are going to definitely play a part in a 30-27 game. Yeah, Dev, this is going to be good. With Jay Dan, you're always welcome here on Life After the Game. Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you check out Jay Dan's website, www.playerperspective.com. Jay Dan, make it a great Super Bowl week.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Got about 2 minutes left. Smurf, got a quick question from one of our listeners. Shout out to Cindy Mercer. Had a quick question for you, Smurf. With Ocho single, do you think the fact that he has calmed down considerably with the Patriots has factored into his low numbers this year? Does swag equal outstanding play?
Yes.
Indeed.
I really do. You know, I hate it. Sometimes that's what motivates players. Different things, you know, it takes different things to motivate different players. And Ocho Cinco, if I'm a GM and I'm going to bring Ocho Cinco in, I'm not going to try to tone him down. Ocho Cinco is at his best when he's at his antics. And it's proven. He's went to New England. He's being someone he's not. And I don't think that's part of his character. Ocho Cinco, if I'm going to bring Ocho Cinco in, you know what I'm going to tell him? Ocho Cinco, every time you score,
I want you to come up with a celebration, the best celebration that you could possibly have, because that's what motivates Ocho Cinco, and that's right. When he was at his best.
You know, you have to love the game. You know, me and Dorsey talked earlier about concussions and staying in the game and not wanting to come out. It's because we love the game. You have to enjoy being out there in the NFL, because we do understand that it's a business, but you have to love to be out there. You have to love what you're doing out there. And that was all part of what Ocho Cinco was about, loving the game, having fun, playing like the kid that we played the game loving and coming up. We got about 30 seconds left. When we come back, Smurf, we're going to tackle some tough issues. What are the Indianapolis Colts going to do with Peyton Manning? Then we're going to finish up, of course, with our Half Mercy Moments of the Weekend. You're listening to The Life After the Game. Stay tuned.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. It's about 6:48. Getting ready to finish the show. We got about a 12-minute segment left. Give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. Send your questions to lamar@lifeafterthegame or follow the conversation on Twitter at @LifeAfterTGame. So, Smurf, we talked a little bit over the break, and we definitely want to come back and talk about what's going on with Peyton Manning. Of course, Jim Israe did a sit-down interview, did the one-on-one. The rumors are coming out that the decision to move on from Peyton Manning was actually made a couple of weeks ago. They just didn't want to become public. Indianapolis is right now the mecca of football right now. You have the Super Bowl coming up this week with his brother, Eli Manning. You have the Indianapolis Combine, which I'm sure Andrew Luck will be there for the Combine coming up in a couple of weeks. What would the Indianapolis Colts do with Peyton Manning?
Well, we know the writing's on the wall. Jim Hersey, he pulled a guilt trip and said that Peyton Manning, you know, trying to start a little real frail. But a guy for the pair got $28 million just to be a teacher. Wow, if that's what teachers are earning this day and time, $28 million, the writing's on the wall, Peyton Manning. I honestly think he will not even play again, Lamar. So I'm thinking that Peyton Manning is really done because, like they said, they're keeping it a top secret, and Peyton Manning has not quite healed yet. So I think the writing's on the wall. Peyton Manning has played his last game as an Indianapolis Colt.
You know, I hate to say it, but I got to go ahead and agree with you, man. I think we saw the career of Peyton Manning. And I think what is it that we saw, it came out of nowhere. You know, Peyton finished the season last year. No one saw a retirement in Peyton's future. No one saw Peyton leaving the game. Peyton was out football this year. The lockout really took over and manipulated the whole entire offseason. And you come into the offseason, I think the first week in August when everyone realized and the news came out that Peyton Manning actually would not be playing this year. And then there were even hints and rumors that he may have come back during the season. But I think Jim Israe is cleaning house. I think my man Reggie Wayne is out of there. I think he's going to get rid of Gary Brackett. I think he's going to get rid of all his guys. He's going to clean up shop. He's going to draft Andrew Luck. and he's not going to be able to afford Lucas Oil Stadium because, you know, I do not believe in Andrew Luck at all.
Wow. I mean, yeah, Andrew Luck, he's going to have a lot of pressure on his shoulders, you know, trying to fill the shoes of Peyton Manning. You're talking about the house that Peyton Manning built. And like you said, it's a whole new look. Peyton Manning said when he walks in Lucas Oil Stadium now, he don't even know the janitor. He can't even recognize the janitor now. Like you said, they let go all the coaches. It's just a whole new era. Peyton Manning knows it's a business. We all know it's a business. You know it's a business. And it's time for Peyton Manning to move on. So it'll be interesting to really see if Peyton Manning is healthy. What team will he play for next year? But honestly, I don't think he'll be healthy, Lamar, and I think his career is really over.
You know what? And the funny thing is, if you're going to bring in Andrew Luck, what better teacher than Jim Caldwell? That's what I don't get. Jim Caldwell was a great offensive coordinator. He was a great quarterback coach. Why do you not keep a man of that coaching caliber of quarterbacks if you're gonna use your number one draft pick on a quarterback? I just don't get it.
And when you're talking about Jim Caldwell, we just know known today that he signed with the Baltimore Ravens. So you see how great he is. He picked up a job. I mean, like at the drop of a dime, he's out there tutoring Joe Flacco again. But like you said. Letting Jim Caldwell go, the man who mentored Peyton Manning, who coached Peyton Manning, why would you want to let him go? But we all know a change is going on in Indianapolis. And Jim Irsay, I'm quite sure if you follow him on Twitter, he'll give you an answer within the next upcoming weeks.
Indeed he will. So let me ask you this. If Peyton Manning's career is really over, the Super Bowl is being played in Indianapolis, where Peyton, the stadium, and I keep saying this because I know the weight as a player that you help build a program, when you've helped build a franchise and they turn your back on you, and you look at what you've built, your banner. You built Lucas Oil Stadium. You made sure those seats were filled every week, and it's out the door. Sorry, Peyton Manning, we don't need you anymore. If you're an athlete and you're listening, this is a wake-up call. NFL is a business. It definitely stands for not for long. It's a not what have you done for me lately business. It's a what have you done for me right now business. One season, Peyton Manning is not here because of an injury, and he's gone.
He's gone. I mean, he's gone. And I can't really blame the Indianapolis Colts for moving on. I mean, you have a chance to get the number one pick. As you say, I don't agree with them to draft an Andrew Luck. I'm a huge Robert Griffin III fan. So, but, you know, it is time to move on. It's time to draft a new quarterback. And if Peyton Manning is not healthy, maybe they know something that we don't. They talk to the trainers every day. And maybe the trainers did let Jim Irsay know that, hey, it's time to move on. I don't think this guy's going to heal up.
Right. And, you know, I thought the most NFL-ready quarterback didn't even come out this year. That was Matt Barkley at USC. I thought he was the most ready to come in and play immediately. And at this level, and in a pro-style offense, I think down the line, Robert Griffin III is going to be better than Andrew Luck and Matt Barkley. I think he'll hold a clipboard. Now, if Cleveland Browns team, they're going to have to get out there and play immediately because Colt McCoy may still be recovering from that hit James Harrison gave him.
You're right about that. And when you talk about it, this one thing I want. Do you think the Indianapolis Colts would have taken this route if they didn't get the number one pick? Just hypothetically say if they had the number three pick and it wasn't a guarantee they would get Andrew Luck. Do you think they still would have let Peyton Manning go if he wasn't healthy?
Not at all. I think they would have. I think the situation at 2-14 this year, you have to realize if Peyton Manning plays this year, they're at least a playoff team. They're at least 500 injured. If he could have came out this year, that the Colts are 8-8, 10-16. They're in the playoffs. Not winning the Super Bowl. I don't think they had the time to win a Super Bowl. But they definitely don't have the number one pick. And we've seen the hype around number one quarterbacks. And we've seen the failures of these number one quarterbacks. I played with Joey Harrington, and he was the number three quarterback. We called him Shane Falco for a reason from the replacement. So I believe that this is going to come back and slap Jim Irsay in the face. I think it's going to be good football justice. And the Colts are going to be a failing team for the next couple of years.
You're right about that. And I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, not only are they losing Peyton Manning, you're talking about key guys that have been with the organization like Reggie Wayne. You know, I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with the rest of their players. But you, like you said, Pierre Garçon, they're over the cap. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're going to be looking at pretty much a college team next year. I'm looking at them not winning no more than two or three games again next year either.
Indeed. I got to wish you on that. We got about 3 minutes left, Murph. Give our listeners your Have Mercy moment of the weekend.
It's not a have mercy, but I just want to say, you know, it was a touching situation. I got to see Joseph Vincent Paterno get laid to rest this weekend. And, I mean, it was a very touching moment. And I just want to say RIP to Joseph Vincent Paterno. You meant so much
to the University of Penn State, so much to college football, and you will truly be missed.
Yeah, definitely, man. A great coach, you know, I think he was the last but dying breed. You know, that was a man who believed football, and that he truly believed in a student athlete. You know, Joe's paycheck was nothing like the paychecks of the guy down at Alabama or the coaches down at LSU. That's something you don't see anymore. Joe was definitely an old school guy. Definitely Joe, rest in peace. My have mercy moment has to go out to Djokovic and Nadal for playing 5.5 hours on that court. I couldn't believe it. I mean, Djokovic changed his shirt about 5 times, but them boys stood out there for 5.5 hours. Have mercy.
And like you said, those who don't follow tennis, I mean, when those two guys go at it, that's a must-see. And I mean, like
always,
you said, they came on at 5 o'clock in the morning. It takes someone to wake up in the middle of the night to get to watch that match because they play, what is it, over in Australia? So, yeah, like you said, it was a very, very good match, 5 hours. I'm talking about these guys went head-to-head. And, I mean, it was just an excellent match.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to thank all our listeners for listening today. Definitely want to give a shout-out to our engineer, Matt, out in Arizona, my inside the studio man, Chuck, always doing a great job, giving us some love. Smurf, give shout-outs, my man.
I want to give a shout-out to all our listeners because without you all, you are the ones that help us, support us, and make it happen. So just a shout-out to all our listeners today.
Hey, definitely stay tuned next week for Life After the Game. I'm headed to Indianapolis tomorrow for the Super Bowl for a little razzle-dazzle on Radio Row, so I'll definitely come back with some great interview clips for you. And for my man Smurf, for Chuck, and for Matt, thanks for listening to us. Life After the Game. Always have the perfect state of mind for success. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.